Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, I don't know what this world is coming to.
In an era where centers ruled the NBA, Warrior great Nate Thurmond stood tall as one of the giants of the game.
When I came into the league, there was, of course, Bill Russell and Will Chamberlain.
Thurmond fires over Wilt, swish.
And then along comes Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Nate Thurmond, the shot goes up and in.
Thurmond was best known for his defense. He was one of the premier shot blockers of his era, and his career 15 rebounds per game ranks fifth all time.
Thurmond at 6'11 can be tough under the boards.
Nate Thurmond, he was an incredible defensive basketball player. He played me as well as Bill Russell. He was strong with his incredible long arms because the top of his reach was like that much more than mine.
Nate Thurmond, one of the great shot blockers we've had in the NBA.
Nate Thurmond would have to be recognized as one of the best defensive players that's ever played the game.
Thurmond also averaged 15 points per game and registered the first ever recorded quadruple-double.
He had it all. He had everything. I mean, it was nothing to see him. He got 25 points, 25 rebounds, you know, 15 block shots. He was incredible.
Nate Thurmond had his number retired by both the Warriors and the Cavaliers. The seven-time All-Star was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1985, and he was voted as one of the top 50 players of the NBA's first 50 years.
I was able to carve out a career that was admirable, and more importantly, I was able to carve out a situation where people respected me and liked the type of person that I was. Long after they've forgotten the last hook shot or block shot, if you are a good person, to me, that's the most important thing.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to Sports Chat with T-Wash. That was the great Nate Thurmond, another NBA legend. That's another legend we've lost. Nate Thurmond was born July 25th, 1941, and he lost his battle with leukemia on July 16th, 2016. He was one of the greatest centers of all time, and 1966 and 1967, he had his best seasons, where he averaged 23.1 points per game and 22 rebounds per game. And these averages were only exceeded by Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain. So that's saying something. He played 11 seasons with the San Francisco / Golden State Warriors. He played two seasons with the Chicago Bulls, two seasons with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and he finished his career averaging 15 points and 15 boards a game. Nate Thurmond is another great legend that we lost, but we will not forget. Like I said, welcome to the show. Today's show is going to be dominated by football. We're going to talk some NCAA football. I'm going to do a college preview of the preseason top 10. And then we're going to do an NFL preview. And we're going to be doing this for the next few shows. But today, I'm going to be previewing the NFC East and the AFC East. But I got to say something to you guys. I've been talking about a couple of players that got drafted in the NBA and how I feel like they're going to make a serious impact this season, you know, with their prospective team. The Chicago Bulls won the Las Vegas Summer League by going 6-0. And Chicago Bulls has one of those rookies that I've been fawning all over and I've been trying to tell everybody about. Even on my show, I've talked about him a lot. But Denzel Valentine is the truth. If I was a Chicago Bull fan, I'll be real happy. The kid is good. He went to Michigan State for all 4 years. He played all 4 years of ball, you know, which is kind of a knock nowadays, which I don't understand. These scouts and these NBA teams are quick to draft a guy that has 1 year experience. You know, you don't know if he's NBA ready or not. You're just strictly drafting on potential. They'd rather take those guys than take a seasoned guy that did all 4 years in college and prove that he could play on a high level. So I really don't understand how Denzel Valentine dropped to the Bulls. But in my opinion, he's the steal of the draft. The guy has leadership skills. He can pass the ball. He can go to the basket. He can shoot. He's the total package, and he's proven that in these summer league games with the Bulls. They beat the Cleveland Cavaliers for the summer league championship. The Minnesota Timberwolves. Tyus Jones hits a long three to basically give Minnesota the lead with like seconds left. And then the Bulls draw up a play for Denzel Valentine. He shoots the three to tie the game, send it to overtime. And then I didn't even know in summer league, there's only a 2 minute overtime. Denzel Valentine hit the game winning shot at the buzzer in overtime to give the Bulls their summer league championship. That shows poise. That shows he's not afraid to take the shot. That's my type of kid. So I really love that the Bulls picked him up. And as I said before, it's three rookies that I'm expecting to have major impacts this year. Ben Simmons, of course, because he's going to have the ball in his hand for the most part, and he plays for the Sixers. So he's going to probably end up winning Rookie of the Year, and he's going to play the most significant minutes. But the two guys I'm going to be keeping track of all season, I'm going to be bringing them up on the show, is Denzel Valentine and Chris Dunn. Those two rookies, I think, are going to have major impacts on their team this season. So we'll see how it turns out. But I'm going to take a break right now, and when I come back, we're going to dive into this college football preview, the top 10, and then we'll get into the NFL preview with the NFC East and the AFC East. If you guys want to call and chime in on anything, you know me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be the topic that I'm presenting. You could throw something else at me. You know, or if you want to call and talk about another topic, we could do that. But hit me up at 1-516-453-9117. If you want to chime in on anything I'm throwing out here to you guys, or if you want to throw something at me, we can holler about it.
Hi, sports fans. Don't you love to see young people engaged in a good book? Then it's a must that you check out my website for my newly released title, A Different Color. You will find a list of other engaging books for youth ages 12 or 18 as well. My books are only $10, and they are guaranteed. So if that special young person in your life is not engaged, you will get your money back. So quit stalling and check me out at www.yireadpublishing.com. That's www.yireadpublishing.com. I'm KC Taylor, and together we make a difference in the lives of our youth.
I hate gossip.
Rest in peace to Trayvon Martin.
I don't know I'm looking for it, you know. But yesterday,
and all the other Trayvons that we didn't march for,
found me. Why don't you try
they lost their life in the hood.
How? You don't know what you just do is...
Let's go. Yeah, God over money, pistol. I got my hoodie on for Trayvon, listening to this ignorance on how the hoodie's just as responsible as the killer is.
Really?
Geraldo, are you losing your mind, or you just blind to the fact the first gangsters wore suits and ties? So if a kid in blue decides to put a clip in you, we'll justify it by saying that you fit the description too. It sound funny, don't it? Now just imagine when they rolled him over, the hoodie said God over money on it. That could have been me, couldn't have been you. I guess that's why we see it from a different point of view. But hold up, before the hood gets to clapping for me, don't just pretend to be righteous when tragedy happens on me. It's really killing me. We marching in the street, following the case, praying that a witness speak, hoping they get some lead, give them the guillotine. We want this killer in the cell where killers should be. But then we hit the hood and that conviction.
Yeah, welcome back to Sports Chat with T-Wash. We're going to get off into this NCAA college football preview. And we're going to start with the number one team in the country right now in the preseason rankings. And that's, of course, the Alabama Crimson Tide. By season's end, expect the Crimson Tide to be in the national championship game. O.J. Howard was the breakout star in last year's championship game, finishing with 208 receiving yards and two touchdowns. He played really good in that game, I remember. Expect him to be the focal point of this year's offense. Running back Kenyon Drake will also be a major contributor to Alabama's offense. Yeah, they lost Derrick Henry to the Titans. And you know Nick Saban, he likes a rushing game. You know, he likes to run the ball and pound the ball before he does anything else, really. Alabama thrives on rushing the ball and tough defense. But with Derrick Henry moving to the pros, Drake has to get, you know, Drake gets his shot at being the star back. Calvin Ridley is an excellent receiver who led the team in receptions, 89. And he led him in yards also with 1,045. And his receiving touchdowns was 7. So expect him to have, who knows, maybe he can have a year and be the next Amari Cooper for him. You just never know. I mean, it's Alabama. They're always finishing there at the top. It seems like no matter what. The question mark will be at the quarterback position. Cooper Bateman is expected to start, and he's a mystery. With Nick Saban as coach, it really doesn't seem to matter who's under center. The strengths of the Crimson Tide, like I said before, is usually the run game and having a stout defense. It really doesn't matter what type of quarterback is back there. I mean, think about it. I like A.J. McCarron, but he's not a great quarterback. They had him back there. You know, it really doesn't matter who's on the center. As long as Alabama has a good running game and a good defense, they're going to be there in that Final Four of that college playoff spot. I believe they'll be there. Guys, if you want to call and chime in on college football, NFL, NBA, basketball, whatever, hit me up. 1-516-453-9117. 1-516-453-9117. If you want to talk about these sports. The number two team in the college preseason poll is the Clemson Tigers. I like them. They have all-world quarterback Deshaun Watson will be a Heisman Trophy finalist. Last year, he was the complete package, throwing for 4,104 yards, 35 touchdowns. Watson also ran for 1,105 yards and 12 touchdowns. So he was a dual threat. Wayne Gallman had a spectacular year at running back, rushing for 1,527 yards and 13 touchdowns. So they have a prolific offense. The Tigers return an explosive receiving core led by Artavis Scott, and his 901 receiving yards with 6 touchdowns. Clemson has a defense that always seems to make big plays at critical moments, especially last season. I strongly believe head coach Dabo Swinney has what it takes to lead the Tigers to back-to-back college football Final Four appearances. I believe that they have a chance to go back. I mean, because as long as you have Deshaun Watson under center, you always have a shot in the game. And then, like I said, you got Gallman, who had a good year running the ball. So you got to worry about Deshaun Watson running the ball, and you got to worry about Gallman running the ball. So it's kind of like pick your poison. So I definitely expect Clemson to be back in the mix again in that Final Four spot. Then at number 3 in the preseason college rankings, They have the Stanford Cardinals. The Cardinals are led by another Heisman hopeful, Christian McCaffrey, who literally did everything offensively for the team. He had 2019 rushing yards with 8 TDs on 337 carries, which tells me he was a workhorse for the team. He was because he did everything. He was like a Swiss Army knife. They put him out there in the slot. They had him running the ball. He was out there at receiver. He played H-back. It just didn't matter. David Shaw, you know, put him everywhere. And he was a weapon. He returned punts. He returned kickoffs. I mean, this guy literally did everything for that team. And like I said, he also led the team in receptions with 45 and reception yardage, 645, to go with 5 TDs. So he had 5 receiving touchdowns. Coach David Shaw will likely depend on a 3-back system of McCaffrey, Ramon Wright, and Barry Sanders Jr. Yeah, that Barry Sanders. His son plays for Stanford. Seemed like he's an average player. He had like 3 touchdowns. You know, he's not as good as his dad, or he'd be the starter. But with the loss of Kevin Hogan to the NFL, the quarterback position will be an unknown factor as it pertains to the team's success. The task of leading the Cardinals to glory will fall upon sophomore Keller Chris and junior Ryan Burns. These quarterbacks have plenty of talent around them. Stanford's success and how far they go may solely depend on both of those quarterbacks. I don't know anything about those quarterbacks, so I don't know how good they're going to be. But one of them going to have to come through if Stanford expects to make a run. You know, even expect to win the Pac-10. One of those quarterbacks going to have to perform at a pretty high level. Guys, you want to call in, chime in about these college top 10 for football, or like I said, talk about the NFL or basketball, hit me up, 1-516-453-9117. At number 4, we have Ohio State. Head coach Urban Meyer should have enough talent to win the Big Ten championship. I don't know if they have enough to make a run at the college football playoff, though. JT Barrett returns to lead the Buckeyes at the QB position, and he is a dual threat who runs and passes the ball. He had 11 passing touchdowns and 11 rushing touchdowns on the ground. If Barrett can improve on his passing abilities, the Bucks could have a special team. But with the loss of Ezekiel Elliott, next in line will be Curtis Samuel with help from JT Barrett. Coach Meyer will have to depend on a young receiving core and their always strong defense to make game-changing plays. I really don't know how good. I mean, I think Ohio State will be okay, but they're going to have a challenge in the Big Ten, you know, having to deal with Michigan State, having to deal with Michigan, who's on the come up. Jim Harbaugh is leading the team in the right direction. And, you know how much of a rivalry Michigan and Ohio State is. So, Michigan is going to be up for it when they play them, either in the Big House or in the Shoe. It really doesn't matter. But Michigan is going to be up for that game. 1-516-453-9117. If you want to chime in on these college football teams, the top 10, the preseason top 10, or if you want to chime in on the NFL, or if you want to chime in on NBA, I talked about Summer League in my first stanza. I talked about the Summer League. I talked about Denzel Valentine and what he did and how I believe him and Chris Dunn are going to be made major players on their teams this year as rookies. Like I said, I'm not going to say anything about Ben Simmons. I expect him to do big things because he's going to have the ball in his hands at all times. And then, like I said, it's the Sixers. You have to go there and ball. I mean, you really don't have much else. So Ben Simmons more than likely will win the Rookie of the Year. If you guys want to talk about any of that, 1-516-453-9117. At number 5, they have the Oklahoma Sooners. Junior Baker Mayfield returns to challenge for the Heisman in the national championship. Last season, he finished with 36 touchdowns and 3,700 passing yards. He also ran for 405 yards and 7 TDs. Samaje Perine, he leads the rushing attack for the Sooners. He finished his freshman season with 1,349 yards and 16 touchdowns. He had an excellent freshman year. I remember him because he, the one cat that played at Wisconsin, Melvin Gordon, he had, like, broke a record. He rushed for a ridiculous amount in the game. I want to say he rushed for, like, almost 300 yards. It might have been 300 yards. But this kid, Samaje Perine, and I think Melvin Gordon did it, well, it was a couple years ago. Melvin Gordon did it, and then the Samaje Perine kid did it, like, a week later. He broke the record. So he's pretty good. After losing top receiver Sterling Shepard to the pros, top receiver duties will go to Day-Day Westbrook and De'Ron Neal, who finished last season with a combined 90 receptions and 7 TDs. So they're going to have to really step it up and give Baker Mayfield some targets to throw to if the Sooners want to be in the mix for one of those final four spots of the college football playoff. Those receivers are going to have to step their game up. As expected, the offense will be high-powered. Can the Sooner defense make stops, force turnovers, make big plays whenever it's necessary? That's going to be the question. Can the Sooner defense be as good as they normally been? I guess we're going to have to find out. I mean, they're playing in the Big 12, so it shouldn't be too hard for them. I mean, what, the only team they may have to worry about there is Oklahoma State. And I don't know if they're as good as they used to be. So Oklahoma should have an easy run, at least through their conference. They should be able to win the Big 12. Texas, I like that they got Charlie Strong. You know, he didn't have a great year last year. Hopefully he, you know, get Texas on the right path this season, but I don't think they have enough to beat Oklahoma. So we'll have to see how good Oklahoma does. 1-516-453-9117 if you want to chime in about any of these topics. At number six, we got Michigan State. Quarterback Tyler O'Connor will have to fill the shoes left by last year's starter Connor Cook. The distinct advantage O'Connor brings to the Spartans' offense is mobility compared to Cook. L.J. Scott leads the rushing attack after gaining 699 yards and 11 TDs last season. The receiver corps will be led by R.J. Shelton, who finished last season with 43 receptions, 503 yards receiving, and 4 touchdowns. If Tyler O'Connor could come into his own, the Spartans could have a triple threat on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, head coach Mark D'Antoni continues to recruit quality players on the defensive side of the ball. Expect Michigan State to have a top-tier defense this season. Michigan State always have a strong, you know, strong defense. And that's why I was saying it's not going to be easy for Ohio State to get through the Big Ten. They're going to have some challenges. I don't know if they have to play Iowa this year, but Iowa, they were good last year. They won the Big Ten West. I don't know if Ohio State is going to have to play them this year, but if they do, that's a tough out. Michigan State is going to be a tough out. Michigan is going to be a tough out. So it's not going to be easy for the Buckeyes. But Michigan State may just have a triple threat, you know, with those three players. But we'll see. At number seven, TCU Horned Frogs. With the loss of quarterback Trayvon Boykin to the pros and the loss of the Horned Frogs' most versatile offensive player, and they just lost him in the spring games. Sean Nixon, they lost him to a season-ending injury, and he was going to be dependent on to be their workhorse running back, and they lost him, so I don't know how they're going to replace him. I don't know who's going to, you know, be the running back for the squad. But I believe this number 7 preseason ranking may be premature because of the injuries. And also, they have a new quarterback, Texas A&M transfer Kenny Hill. He has the task of coming in and leading TCU to a winning season. And if you don't remember this guy, he took over for Johnny Manziel. When Manziel left Texas A&M and went to the pros, he took over. And he showed flashes of greatness. But, you know, ultimately it didn't work out at A&M for whatever reason. He played good, and then, like, he started off good. And then as the season went on, he just, it's like his game just went downhill. And he ended up transferring. So now he's hoping to be able to revitalize his game with the TCU Horned Frogs. We'll see how that goes. And at number 8, you got the Houston Cougars. And they are led by Heisman hopeful Greg Ward Jr. I didn't know anything about Houston. I didn't know if Houston was good or not. And I never heard of Greg Ward Jr., but evidently he's real good. And the stats make him sound real good. But he finished last season with 17 pass touchdowns and 21 rushing touchdowns. Other than Ward Jr., Ryan Jackson returns as the team top rusher. Chance Allen and Stephen Dunbar lead the Cougar receiving corps. Houston has a giant test when they host number 5, Oklahoma, in their opening game of the season. Yeah, if they can beat Oklahoma, then that'll really get them some cred. Because I'm pretty sure, like myself, a lot of people didn't think of Houston as being a top 10 team. Their football program's never really that good. But they have them as a preseason top 10 team. They're ranked number 8 right now. So if they beat Oklahoma's on opening day in the season opener, then that's going to be a good thing. And beating the Sooners and playing a great game can instantly jumpstart Ward Jr.'s Heisman candidacy right off the bat. So if he comes out that first game, plays a good game, like maybe throw for like 250 yards, 2 touchdowns or something like that, and rush for like maybe 80 to 100 yards and rush for 1 rushing touchdown and beat Oklahoma, that'll put Houston on the map, and that'll put Greg Ward Jr. on the map for the Heisman. They'll be talking about him as a Heisman candidate after week 1. So that's a big game for Houston. At number 9, they have the Iowa Hawkeyes, who are quarterbacked by C.J. Beathard. And he looks to return the Hawkeyes to national prominence. Like I was saying earlier, the Hawkeyes, they won the Big Ten West. They had a great record. They only lost 1 game, if I'm not mistaken. I think they went like 11-1. And that one loss was to Michigan State. And they ended up going on and losing at the Rose Bowl to Stanford and Christian McCaffrey. But Iowa won, like I said, Iowa won the Big Ten West title last season. And unfortunately, like I said, they lost to Stanford in the Rose Bowl. The Hawkeyes used 3 running backs who are all effective. Jordan Kanzeri, LaShawn Daniels Jr., and Akram Wadley. They all combined for 2,126 yards and 27 touchdowns. That's some pretty good numbers coming from 3 guys. You know, being that they had to divvy up all the carries and they still produce those type of numbers, that's pretty good. So I'm assuming that their head coach is going to go with the same system. He's going to use all 3 running backs, try to ground and pound the defense to death, and then, you know, that could open up their passing game. And Beathard and top wide receiver Matt Vandenberg look to improve on their connection of 65 receptions and 4 TDs. So if that ground game is killing the opposing defense, then they can open up their offense. And Beathard and Matt Vandenberg, they'll put up even more numbers than the 4 touchdowns and 65 receptions that they had last year. So Iowa may be a team to look out for, too. Like I said, there's 4 teams in the Big Ten that's probably going to be legitimate. And at number 10, they had Ole Miss. Now, I'm going to be real. I really don't know much about Ole Miss. I just know that they lost one of the best defensive players last year in Robert Comichi, who went to the draft. And I know that in the media, they got a transfer quarterback. He transferred, I can't remember where he transferred from, but his name, Jake Kelly. And he's been talking all kinds of trash in the media, saying he's the best quarterback in the nation. He's going to lead Ole Miss to, you know, the college football playoff, national champion. I mean, he's just been talking big stuff. So I'm curious to see how good this kid is. But really, that's about all I know about Ole Miss. I really don't know how good they are. I know they had a couple good receivers. And I know specifically they had one good receiver from a few years ago named Laquon Treadwell, who got drafted by the Minnesota Vikings. He got hurt a couple years ago and basically sat out, but he got drafted by the Vikings this year. So I really don't know how good Ole Miss is going to be, but they have them ranked in the top 10. Guys, if you want to call in the top 10, you know, the preseason college football rankings, chime in. Tell me what you think about it. Or if you want to talk about some pro football, chime in. Tell me what you want to think about it. You want to throw some topics at me? Tell me what you chime in. 1-516-453-9117.
If you have a strong passion for sports and a love of talking about sports, then hit up Sports Chat with T. Wash at 1-516-453-9117. Here we'll discuss the NBA, we'll discuss MLB, we'll discuss NCAA, we'll discuss NFL, we'll discuss MMA, and yes, we'll discuss even a little hockey. So if you love to talk about sports and you want to have some good conversation, once again, hit up Sports Chat with T. Wash. And that number is 1-516-453-9117. Looking forward to hearing from you.
Chat with T. Wash. We're going to get off into this NFL preview. We're going to be previewing the NFC East and the AFC East on today's show. In future shows, we're going to break down the other divisions. The AFC West, the NFC West, the AFC South, the NFC South, the AFC North, the NFC North. We're going to be breaking them all down. But today we're going to start with the NFC East and the AFC East. So, guys, if you want to call in, chime in about these NFL teams, or you want to talk about that college football preview that I just did with the top 10, or if you want to talk any type of sports. You know me, I'm versatile. If you want to throw any type of sports topic at me, you can do it, and we can talk about it. All you got to do is call 1-516-453-9117. Once again, 1-516-453-9117. All right, let's get into this NFC East. So first thing I'm going to talk about is going to be the Dallas Cowboys, the cursed Dallas Cowboys. It seems like no matter what, something always going wrong with Dallas. They're always cursed. All the bad luck happens. It's just funny, especially when you hear Stephen A. Smith, you know, get on it. It's like the guy's some kind of Nostradamus or something. He predicts it, and then it happens to the Cowboys. But the return of Tony Romo and standout wide receiver Dez Bryant may push the Dallas Cowboys to the NFC East crown. I mean, it might, because Dallas has the talent, man. They have plenty of talent. It's just a matter of staying injury-free and not doing dumb stuff. But both players missed last season due to injury, and it showed with the Cowboys finishing with a 4-12 record. The addition of number 4 draft pick, Ezekiel Elliott, has really uplifted the team. During minicamp drills, he's been performing at an extremely high level. He has drawn comparisons to Cowboys Hall of Famer Emmitt Smith, who was a good running back, but I never, like, really want to give Emmitt Smith a lot of credit. I mean, he's great. He is. And he was a hell of a runner for the Cowboys. But I'm a Barry Sanders fan. And Emmitt Smith had a big, great Hall of Fame offensive line in front of him blocking for him. So they created big, giant holes for Emmitt to run through. Whereas Barry Sanders, he didn't have no line like that. Barry Sanders had to create his own space, create his own holes. And if Barry wouldn't have retired, I still believe Emmitt Smith wouldn't have broke that record. It would have been Barry's record to break. But back to the Cowboys. I just had to say that because, I mean, Emmitt Smith, like I said, Emmitt Smith's a great player. But I just always liked Barry better, so I just had to say that. But expect Elliott to rack up at least 250 to 300 carries, which means if you play fantasy football, seriously consider thinking about drafting Ezekiel Elliott. I know I am, because Jason Garrett and the Cowboys, they're going to give him the ball like 250 to 300 times. I guarantee it, because they're going to try to make him the workhorse like they had DeMarco Murray. When they had that going, that's the last time the Cowboys made the playoffs. When DeMarco Murray had that monster season. So they're going to try to do that with Ezekiel Elliott. Dez Bryant looks to rekindle his offensive connection with Romo. And like I said, barring injury, the Cowboys will have a top 5 offense in the league. I mean, you can't deny that. I mean, the weaponry they got. Jason Witten's getting up there in age, but he's still good enough to make plays. Then you got Dez Bryant at wide receiver. You got the little Cole Beasley guy who's like a little Wes Welker, a slot guy. Then you have Terrence Williams on the other outside, on the other side of Dez Bryant. He makes plays. You know, so the Cowboys have talent, man. It's just a matter of them putting it together and not doing anything crazy that's going to cause them to lose games. And like I said, barring injury. Defensively, they are strong, but unfortunately they may struggle the first 4 weeks of the season due to the suspensions of key players like DeMarcus Lawrence and Rolando McClain. Cowboys can make it through the first 4 games of the season with a decent record, they may have a chance to win it in the NFC East. I mean, DeMarcus Lawrence and Rolando McClain got suspended for stupid stuff, drugs and PEDs. So I don't understand, man, why these players, you know, especially with the drug thing, like the weed, they don't test you during the season. On your days off, man, just get baked on your days off. Instead of doing it right before you know you got to show up to training camp and things like that, when you know they're going to test you. I never understood that with the pro with the NFL players. They can smoke all the weed they want during the season. But, you know, if you got, like, some kind of history with them, then you can't because they're going to, give you randoms. If the Cowboys can make it through the first four games of the season with a decent record, like I said, they may have a shot to win the NFC East. The first four games they play the Giants in Dallas, they play at the Redskins, they play the Bears in Dallas, and then they play at the Niners. After those games, Lawrence and McClain will be scheduled to return. So if they can weather that storm, then the Cowboys have a good shot at winning the division. That game with the Giants, that's a rivalry. And you just never know with the old Book of Eli, you know, how that game is going to turn out. Then at the Redskins, that's going to be tough. The Bears and the Niners, they should be able to win those games. So just looking at it on paper, I'm going to say the Cowboys go 3-1. I think they'll beat the Giants that first game of the season. I think they'll lose at the Redskins. Then I think they'll beat the Bears in Dallas, and then they'll beat the Niners on the road. So I think they'll be able to weather that storm, go 3-1, and then they'll get their key defensive players back, and that'll help the defense. That'll help out Sean Lee. That'll help out Orlando Scandrick, who'll be back. Morris Claiborne, he's the question mark. Yeah, they drafted him with a high pick. They expected him to be a shutdown corner, be real good, and he's been a bust. So what kind of role is he going to have in the defense this year? We don't know. 1-516-453-9117. You want to get in on this. Next thing I want to talk about is the New York Giants. And I really don't like talking about the Giants because I got a history with the Giants. My team that I root for has a history with the Giants. So I really don't like talking about the Giants, but I am previewing NFC East, so I got to talk about them. Eli Manning and the Giants look for a return to prominence after finishing last season with a 6-10 record. Offensively, New York looks to have an explosive offense with Odell Beckham Jr., who finished a fantastic rookie season with 96 receptions, 1,450 yards, and 13 touchdowns. Now, this is the thing. If Victor Cruz can finally stay healthy and be injury-free and return to Pro Bowl form, the Giants could have the best receiving duo in the NFL. Maybe. It just depends on if Victor Cruz could come back right. He's been injury-plagued these last few years, so we haven't been able to see the salsa dance. Now, the issue with the Giants for the last few years has been the running back position. A couple years ago, Rashad Jennings had a great year for him, but unfortunately, he's been plagued with injuries. And I don't know how he's going to look this year when he comes back, so I can't really say if he's going to be effective or not. And then they have Shane Vereen, who's basically a pass-catching back. He does a lot of his work catching the ball out of the backfield. You give him a couple carries, but he's not going to do anything significant. You know, he's a passing back, not a physical one. And last year's rookie, Orleans Darkwa, he did a good job. He did a decent job when he was given the opportunity. I mean, who knows? Maybe he can win the starting job during training camp and help the Giants' offense return to form. Nah, this is another issue for the Giants last year, in the last couple years. The Giants have always been known for having a good, stout defense. The last couple years, their defense has become surprisingly one of the worst in the league. They were known for giving up big passing plays last year due to having a horrible secondary. I don't know if they're saying they improved this much, you know, improved that much this year. But they did acquire Ohio State cornerback Eli Apple. They drafted him in the first round. And he played good at Ohio State, but, you know, it was a small boost. That's a small boost to the secondary, but who knows how good, you know, he's going to be. He was a ball-hawking playmaker in college, but will his skills translate to the pros? We don't know. And then on that defensive line, you got JPP, who messed his hand up with a fireworks accident. I believe he tried to throw an M80. Because they say he, like, damn near blew his thumb off. So who knows is he gonna, you know, if he's going to be able to get back to the way he used to be, you know, causing havoc on other quarterbacks and constantly getting sacks. We don't know if he's going to be able to get back to that form. So you don't know how good the Giants are going to be. I'm assuming that if Victor Cruz can come back and be effective and stay injury-free, their offense is going to be good. But the question mark is going to be their defense. And the last team of the AFC West Division, I'm sorry, the NFC East Division, the Washington Redskins. Kirk Cousins looked really good last season, finishing with 4,166 passing yards, 29 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions. The team franchised him. They didn't want to sign him to a long-term deal, so they franchised him. And basically, this is going to give him a chance to prove his worth this season. The Redskins have a dynamic offense that should be very capable of putting up big numbers. I mean, you got Pierre Garçon, you got DeSean Jackson, and you got tight ends Jordan Reed, who gave me a lot of fantasy points last year, and Niles Paul. This makes up an excellent receiving core. I don't know how much Pierre Garçon got left, but, you know, he usually play effective. And then you already know DeSean Jackson, he's a deep threat at any time. DeSean Jackson will catch a 70-yard bomb on you at any minute. And, you know, I believe if the offensive line gives Cousins enough time in the pocket, the Skins will definitely move the chains. And Washington has always had a solid defense led by my man, Purdue's Ryan Kerrigan, and veteran D'Angelo Hall, who they moved to safety. He was a cornerback. That was his natural position, but he's moved to safety. He's getting up there, you know, in age, and I don't think he can really stay with receivers no more, so that's why they moved him to the safety. Now, if head coach Jay Gruden makes all the right decisions on offense and places, you know, a little more focus on the defense, the Redskins will definitely push for an NFC wildcard spot. Like I said, they have the talent, and Kirk Cousins is in a prove-it year. He wants to get the big bucks. So he's going to have to ball out again, you know, probably even better than he did. I mean, like I said, last year he had 29 touchdowns, 11 picks. That's not bad. But if you want to get this big money from the Redskins, they're making him prove it. Or, you know, who knows, maybe he get it from someone else. Another team. Now, hold on a minute. Got a call coming in. Let's see who this is.
Hello?
What's going on? The Sports Chat with T. Wash. Who's calling?
This is William Wilson, Jr.
Hey, William. How you doing, buddy? How you doing since I saw you on Saturday?
Okay. You do remember me.
Oh yeah, I remember. We had a long conversation about the Colts. I'm not gonna and the Pacers. I'm not gonna forget that.
All right, my man.
All right, man.
And
what you got for me?
Today?
What you wanna talk about?
I didn't know I was gonna be on air right now.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's why I gave you the number to call. Yeah, you're gonna be on air. But I started off the show by talking about the college football preview. They have a preseason ranking, and I did the top 10, and I basically talked about every team and what I thought about them. And now I'm previewing the NFC East and the NFC and the AFC East. Right now I'm finishing up the NFC East. I already talked about the Cowboys. I already talked about the Redskins. I already talked about the Giants. Now I'm talking about the Eagles.
Okay, well,
so
with that said,
about?
talk about my fiber optic hats for all these teams you're talking about.
What would you say?
I said, could I talk about my fiber optic hats for all these teams that you're talking about? Remember
hey,
my light?
Go ahead, man.
Remember my light up hats?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
but you got to talk some sports too, though, man.
Yeah, well, I can talk sports.
Okay.
But to be honest, man, I haven't looked at the rankings. I know Alabama is in there. I know Notre Dame is in there. They should be in the top five.
No, Alabama's number one. Notre Dame right now is number 11.
Number 11, so they haven't made top five yet.
No, they haven't made top five. They got to play. Once the season starts and they get the plan, if they play good, then they'll move up. But right now, see, this is the preseason rankings. They do the preseason rankings before the season even starts. And
I know.
Yeah, they have Notre Dame at number 11. They have Michigan at number 12.
Michigan number 12.
Mm-hmm. Alabama's number one.
So who's number two?
Clemson. The Clemson Tigers.
Clemson? Oh,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's about right, man, because Deshaun Watson is a beast, and that's the quarterback in Clemson. He's a dual threat. He can pass it. He can run it. I mean, the guy's a beast, so that's a worthy ranking, you know, for them to be number two. And then remember, they won the national championship game last year, so
I expect them to be here again. Okay.
They play
okay.
Alabama for the national championship, so. Yeah,
man, these black quarterbacks are just getting ridiculous with the skills that they're coming with, and being able to do everything, and I'm glad to see that. I'm glad to see that. It's just happening all over the country.
It's another quarterback out there that I've never even heard of. But he plays for Houston, and Houston is ranked number 8 in the country. And his name is Greg Ward Jr., and they're already saying he's a Heisman candidate. But
I read something about him.
I never heard of him, buddy. But he has 17 passing touchdowns and 21 rushing touchdowns. How good
is that? My goodness. That is awesome. That's absolutely awesome.
I know. It'd be a good thing because they – go ahead.
What do you think our Colts going to do this year?
The Colts?
What do you think they're going to do this year?
I don't know, man. They playing – I mean, I think every team in their division got better except Tennessee. I like what Jacksonville did. I like what Houston did. But as far as the Colts, you know, I don't know if they fixed their offensive line. And I don't know if they fixed their defensive line as far as stopping the run. You know,
they definitely didn't do that.
Okay, well, see, that it's going to be the same issue. Teams going to be running all over them. And if they didn't fix
the
offensive line,
they drafted about 4 or 5 offensive linemen.
Okay.
You know,
well,
but
they can protect Andrew Luck because.
Right. But
the
defense,
they didn't do anything with the defense. Yeah, if they don't protect Andrew Luck, then it's not going to matter what they, you know. What they do, they're not going to go far because Andrew Luck's going to be knocked out of the game and hurt.
Man, what I was saying all last year was Grigson was the one that was responsible for what happened with this team. All this stuff we went through with them different quarterbacks coming in for a game or two and not having a solid backup. Still don't think we got a solid backup, really.
No, they don't.
I haven't heard
they
of this
don't.
Guy. I can't think of his name, but I haven't heard this guy. But hey man, I'm gonna get off here. But one thing I want to say before I go, I'm gonna tell your audience about my fiber optic hats.
Okay.
I got college and pro, NFL. I got Major League Baseball, NBA, NFL, NHL, NASCAR, and NCAA light up fiber optic hats. All of my logos have been enhanced with fiber optic lights, and they light up. The batteries are replaceable, and my website is www.logo-n-lights.com, logoinlights.com.
All right.
Hey, man, I appreciate you taking the time of speaking with me. I'm going to call in some more, especially after I start getting into what's going on with these sports. I've been so busy, I haven't had a lot of chance to read sports pages, but I'm usually in that all the time and on ESPN. I've been following all this NBA, like these drafts and the summer leagues, and these guys are looking awesome. So I'm just going to leave with that, okay?
All right. Thanks for calling, man. Hey, make sure you check out his website. I've seen the hat.
Man,
the hat's real nice, and you will like them.
All right. All right. Well, thank you, sir. You have a blessed day.
Okay, you do the same, buddy. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. That's good conversation. Now I'm going to get back to these NFC East teams. We already discussed the Cowboys. We already discussed the Redskins. We already discussed the dreaded Giants, who I don't really like to talk about, but I had to. Now we're going to discuss the weakest team in the division, which is the Philadelphia Eagles. They currently have a situation with a quarterback. You know, Sam Bradford didn't want to stay. He wanted to be traded. He demanded to be traded at first. They still end up giving him a lot of money. They drafted Carson Wentz, and word is right now, I guess he's not good enough to supplant Sam Bradford right now at the moment. He's the number three quarterback. And I just don't see the Eagles as being real good. I think that when Chip Kelly left, the team is just like kind of shambles now. I mean, they have a couple of good players, though. They still have Darren Sproles, you know, who's a fantasy, who's a good get for fantasy. You know, if you want a fantasy running back, it's always good to draft Darren Sproles. I still think he has enough. And then at receiver, their best receiver is Jordan Matthews. He's good. He puts up numbers. So he would be a good fit for your team if you playing fantasy football. And then at tight end, you have Zach Ertz, who's pretty good. It's just a matter of how many reps he get. But the Eagles are probably the worst team in the division. I expect them to finish with, like, maybe a 4-12 record. I just don't believe they're going to be any good at all. Their defense, I mean, they signed a couple of players, but they lost a few players too. So I really don't know how good their defense is going to be. So as far as the Eagles, I just think they're going to be bottom feeders, cellar dwellers in the NFC East. Guys, if you want to call in, 1-516-453-9117. If you want to chime in about anything, you want to talk about my breakdown of the college football top 10, the preseason top 10, you want to talk about that. If you want to talk about your thoughts on the NFC East, who you think is going to win the division. Right now I'm going with the Cowboys to win the division as long as they stay healthy, you know, barring injury. And I'm expecting, like I said, I'm expecting a big season out of rookie Ezekiel Elliott. If you play fantasy football, like I said, you may want to draft him because guaranteed he's going to get 250 to 300 carries because they're already comparing him to Emmitt Smith and they talking about how he's been doing in training camp or mini camp and how he's been looking amazing, how he just has a burst to him, and you may want to pick him up. I definitely am going to pick him up because, like I said, he's going to get the carries, which means he's going to give me fantasy points. Once again, if you want to call in, 1-516-453-9117.
On the topics, they ain't even fit to step in Shaq's arena. I look inside your mind and I see your shook demeanor. In your eyes, why are you surprised? No matter how you try, not fly as Eloquaz. The new addition, is this the end of your last night? In the daytime, you couldn't see me
with a flashlight. I crash flights on sights of my enemy. I'm coming through and then I bomb your whole vicinity. Why the acting fake and chat, you're not a friend to me. I peep your card, you're not as hard as you pretend to be. Who wanna spark it with the chocolate? Macadamium, head clean to the cranium. You know the name, Shaq aim to maintain. Money on the brain, can't stop the rain.
Yeah, welcome back to Sports Chat with T-Wash. That was a little bit of Shaq Diesel and Can't Stop the Rain, a classic from the big man back during his heyday when he used to rap and play ball and do it all. But now we're going to get into this AFC East. Remember, guys, you want to call and talk about any of these topics. If you want to throw something at me, the last caller, my man, he threw out the Colts. He asked about the Colts. If you want to chime in about anything, you're welcome to do so. Just hit me up at 1-516-453-9117. 1-516-453-9117. All right, now we're going to talk about the AFC East. And this team is one of my favorite teams to talk about because it's my team that I root for. And that's the New England Patriots. Let's see. How do I start this? Even with the loss of Tom Brady for games 1-4, the Patriots have the necessary firepower to continue their dominance over the AFC East division. The Pats still have Rob Gronkowski, who finished last season with 72 receptions, 1,176 receiving yards, and 11 touchdowns. Julian Edelman returns as one of the best slot receivers in football. New England also added tight end Martellus Bennett to give the team a two-headed monster at the same position. The last time we had two good tight ends is when that idiot Aaron Hernandez was there. The NFL started duplicating the Patriots offense because of Hernandez and Gronkowski. When we had that two tight end set of those two guys, Patriots offense was unguardable. It was nothing you can do. Unfortunately, we didn't see those two play on the field a lot together because Gronkowski was always injured a lot during those days. So now we're going to have a legitimate two-headed monster at the tight end spot again. Bad news for the NFL. Let's see. So where did I leave off? Their offense may be unstoppable when they run the two tight end set, as I was just saying. Other notable players are Danny Amendola, my man Deion Lewis, who coming back, who I had in fantasy last season, and I was winning my money league when he was playing. But once he got hurt, it just went downhill. Deion Lewis was real good last year. He's a little guy. He slips a lot of tackles. He runs through the cracks because he's so small. The one thing about it, though, with him coming back this year, no one knows how effective he's going to be because he's coming back off a torn ACL. You don't just come back from that in one season and be effective. So I'm not expecting him to be able to cut and plant, you know, plant his feet and cut, you know, do hard cuts and all that stuff, change speeds like he was last year. I'm expecting him to be able to do that again next year. But they still got him. He'll be back. They re-signed LeGarrette Blount for the physical pounding, you know, at the running back spot. And Dante Hightower, who anchors a solid defense, to go along with Jamie Collins, to go along with Malcolm Butler, to go along with Daron Harmon. Patriots are going to be in good shape. So, you know, all these folks who happy that they, you know, in this predicament right now, you're not going to be happy once Brady comes back. But Jimmy Garoppolo will guide the Pats to a 3-1 record at best. At worst, a 2-2 record, which is more than enough when Brady returns. And he's going to be returning for Game 5, October 9th, in Cleveland, Ohio. And I'm going to be in the house at that game. And I expect Brady and the Patriots to put up some big numbers in that game. I'm expecting the Patriots to go on like this revenge tour, the middle finger tour, to say screw everybody in the NFL. I mean, truthfully, expect the Patriots to make another run at the Super Bowl. Because let's just say they go 2-2. They're going to lose to Arizona. I'm already choking that up because, you know, chalking that up because I don't expect Jimmy to be able to go into Arizona and beat them. Let's say they lose to Houston in Foxborough, which I highly doubt. And then they win their next two games in Foxborough, which is against division rivals, the Bills and the Dolphins, which they definitely can. Even if they start the season 2-2, I believe Tom Brady's losing one game. Tom Brady will finish the season 11-1, which is going to give us, what, 12-4 record or something like that. A 13-3 record. I believe that can happen. Number two team, the second team in the division, AFC East, is the New York Jets. The Jets finished with a 10-6 record last season. They had a good year. They had the best receiving duo in the NFL statistically with Brandon Marshall and his 109 receptions, 1,502 yards, and 14 TDs. Man, I know the Bears regret letting Brandon Marshall go. All my Chicago people out there who Bears fans, I know you regret letting Brandon Marshall go because you still don't know what you're going to get out of Kevin White. I mean, Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey was a good little combo, but they traded him to the Jets. Eric Decker was that other receiver as part of that duel. He probably had his best season he ever had in the NFL. He had 80 receptions, 1,027 receiving yards, and 12 touchdowns. So the Jets receivers put up some prominent numbers. Unfortunately, the Jets are currently in a financial dispute with last year's starting quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick. If he holds out, the team will go with Geno Smith. Wow, Geno Smith, who hasn't fared well during his time in New York City. So I don't know, man. If Geno play, man, it might not be a good thing for the Jets. But who knows? Maybe Geno could shock us. And, you know, he's been humbled. You know, he had to sit down and watch. So who knows? Maybe Geno might come in and ball out. You just never know. I just don't believe he will. He needs to prove it. I need to see it for, you know, to believe it. Now, the Jets defense, led by Muhammad Wilkerson. I don't know why I'll be confusing those guys. Sheldon Richardson and two solid but aging cornerbacks, Revis Cromartie, they lead the defense. And their defense is always good. Jets always have a tough physical defense, and they always make plays. But both of those corners are aging. And Revis hasn't been looking the same since he left New England. He got a Super Bowl with the Patriots, went back to New York, and just hasn't looked right. So who knows? Maybe Belichick knew what he was doing. He knew not to re-sign Revis because Revis was on the downside. Guys, if you want to call in, talk about anything. Talk about these football teams, whether it be college, whether it be the NFC East or the AFC East. Hit me up at 1-516-453-9117. 1-516-453-9117. If New York can resolve their financial problems with Fitzpatrick, they can challenge for an AFC wildcard spot in the playoffs. I believe they can because it came down to the last season last year. If they wouldn't have lost that game at Orchard Park against Buffalo, they would have made the playoffs. But Patrick, he had a good year, but the game that mattered most, Fitzpatrick threw up a dud, and the Jets missed the playoffs. So if Fitzpatrick could come back, you know, they solve that issue, then I believe they're good enough to fight for a wild card spot. Next team in the AFC East is the Buffalo Bills. The Bills return a talented group of players looking to improve on last season. Quarterback Tyrod Taylor and wide receiver Sammy Watkins were completely in sync last season. Taylor connected with Watkins for 60 receptions and 9 TDs. Running back LeSean McCoy looks to return to his all-pro form. And LeSean McCoy, he had a decent year last year, but not like he was when he was in Philly. And I know that's what a lot of the fans up in Orchard Park, New York, looking for. They're looking for him to be that running back he was in Philadelphia. I don't know if it was, you know, the Bills' offensive line is the issue, or maybe LeSean McCoy, he the issue. Maybe, you know, his skills are diminishing. But he didn't look like he looked when he was in Philadelphia. But he had a decent year. I mean, I don't want to sit here and say that he had a bad season. But that Rex Ryan-led defense looks to have another solid year of wreaking havoc on opposing offenses. And, you know, just like I said with the Dallas Cowboys, the Bills, barring any injuries, you know, major injuries, the Bills might be able to challenge for a wild card spot also. I mean, I think the AFC East is going to be competitive. But when it's all said and done, none of those guys have a Hall of Fame quarterback on their team. And that's why I say, even with Brady missing the first four games, it really doesn't make a difference. They still have enough talent in Foxborough for Jimmy to even, you know, for even Jimmy to be able to make things happen. It's too much talent for them to just be like 0-4 or 1-3, some ridiculous record where, you know, when Brady comes back, they won't be able to get out of the hole. The last team of the division, which is probably the weakest one, but for whatever reason, they seem to have my team's number in Miami. But the Dolphins, I said the Dolphins are the weakest team in the division. They're probably going to finish last. But Ryan Tannehill, who's their starting quarterback, he has to have a breakthrough year, you know, if they want to make some noise in the league, let alone their division. They want to make some type of noise. Ryan Tannehill has to finally break through. I mean, they gave him a big contract, and he hasn't been playing up to that contract. He hasn't played up to those standards. So Tannehill has to make things happen. And on offense, he has a standout wide receiver who had a good rookie year, and that's Jarvis Landry. Landry had 110 receptions, 1,157 yards receiving, and four touchdowns. So he had a productive rookie season. He also had a rookie out of Louisville, and his name is escaping me right now, Devontae Parker. He had Devontae Parker out of Louisville, who also had a pretty decent year. So he has some weapons. He has Jordan Cameron at the tight end. If everybody remember him, he had like a breakout year in Cleveland. But since he left Cleveland, well, he got hurt 1 year in Cleveland, and since he's left Cleveland, he hasn't really had as good of a year as he did then. So maybe Jordan Cameron could have another breakout season, but this time with the Dolphins, and that would help his offense out. But Tannehill's the key. You know, he has to stop making errors, stop making crazy passes, play with a little more poise in the pocket, and the Dolphins' offense will be able to make some things happen. Arian Foster, who was released by the Texans, another, you know, running back that was great, but unfortunately he's injury-plagued. He joins the team with hopes of playing the injury-free season and returning to his Pro Bowl form. And we all know how good Arian Foster was. He was always one of the top five picks taken in fantasy drafts because Arian Foster used to be able to catch the ball, make things happen in the passing game, and he should be able to run the ball. So the Dolphins are banking that. They gave him a one-year deal, so it's not going to affect him that much if he don't produce. But Arian Foster is basically playing for his NFL future. He's playing to prove that he can still make things happen. So he's looking for an injury-free season. Now, the Dolphins have always had a good defense. They've always had a good, solid defense, and like I said, I know because for whatever reason, my team, the Patriots, never win in Miami. And it's because that defense is always racking up Tom Brady, always making plays, always forcing him to dumb turnovers. It's like they just it's almost like the Dolphins are a Super Bowl team when the Patriots play in Miami. But they got Cameron Wake on one edge, and then they got Ndamukong Suh in the middle, pushing the hole. Those guys are pretty good. So the Dolphins defense is, you know, they're pretty good, but it's just a matter of what they're going to do offensively. What is Ryan Tannehill going to give them? And we're going to find out. So that's my preview of the AFC East and the NFC East. As I continue the shows, I'm going to be previewing all the teams from the NFL, all the divisions. Like on Saturday's show, previewing the NFC North and the AFC North on Saturday's show. So I'm going to do this probably for the next six shows. I'm going to be previewing the NFL divisions and telling you my opinion, what I think. You know, and as I said, the AFC East, I believe the Patriots are going to win the division. NFC East, I'm going with the Cowboys to win the division. Barring injuries, I'm going with the Cowboys to win the division. I think that they're just going to come back with a vengeance. And I think the addition of Ezekiel Elliott is going to make that much of a difference, because all the pressure is not going to be on Tony Romo to throw the ball. They're going to have somebody to hand it off to and make things happen. So that's the reason why I'm going with the Cowboys to win their division. What's going on in the Sports Chat with T-Wash? Who's calling?
Hey, what's up, T-Wash? This is Gary.
What's going on, man?
Not much, man. I've been out of the loop last week or two. So I missed the shows or whatever, but I caught the tail end today talking about football. That's what I like to hear. Only reason why any other team in the AFC East has a chance is because Brady's suspended. And I'd like to get that out the way. And then I can't wait for your next show to talk about the NFC North, man, because you know it's all about the Packers, man.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely going to be talking about the NFC North, and I'm going to talk about the AFC North, and, yeah, we're going to take it from there. Yeah, I definitely believe the Packers definitely should win that division. I mean, I don't see any team in there. Well, I do believe the Vikings are going to challenge them again. But,
man, we gave the Vikings
all,
that division
Packers,
last year.
All in all, the Packers are coming through.
Yeah, definitely, man. All right, man. Just wanted to send my little two cents. See you Saturday, man.
All right, buddy. All right, well, I got like 11 minutes and 30 seconds left of the show. Any last calls? You want to talk about anything? These last 11 minutes, you want to say something about the preseason top 10? Well, it's really the preseason top 25, but I decided to break down the top 10. And for the most part, I agree with it. I definitely agree with Alabama being number one. I definitely agree with the Clemson Tigers being number two. I agree with, Stanford, I don't know if I could agree with them being number three, because I don't know who their quarterback going to be. I just know Christian McCaffrey's good, and they have three running backs that they play with, you know, they use. But I don't know if they're a solid number three, so I really can't say that. And number four, the Buckeyes. I don't know if the Buckeyes should be number four. I mean, they got JT Barrett, but they lost a lot, man. And then they got a running back that got suspended. So I don't know if the Buckeyes should be number four. And number five, I think is right. I think the Sooners – well, actually, I think the Sooners should be maybe number four. And Baker Mayfield is coming back, and Samaje Perine, I expect him to have another good year. So some of these I agree with it in that top ten, but some of them I don't. And the surprise team, like I said, I never even knew of Houston having a good football program. But they have them ranked as the preseason number eight. And I never heard of their quarterback, Greg Ward Jr. I never heard of him, but when I read about him, this guy definitely is a Heisman hopeful. And he has, like I said earlier, he has 17 pass touchdowns and 21 rush touchdowns. Those are some good numbers. And they open up their season against Oklahoma at home. If they could beat Oklahoma, then that's going to boost the program, and then that's going to jumpstart Greg Ward's Heisman candidacy. If they could beat Oklahoma, who's ranked number 5 right now, and they ranked number 8, they could beat them. And he has a good game, like maybe throwing for 2 touchdowns and maybe 220 to 270 yards passing. And if he rushed for 80 to 100 yards and get a scrambling touchdown, that's enough right there to have the sports world talking about him that first weekend of the football season, of college football season. And, you know, like I said before, when I touched on, you know, the NFC East and the AFC East previews, I just believe that Dallas, you know, hopefully they won't be cursed this year and everybody can stay injury-free. I believe Dallas is going to win that division. I believe the Redskins are going to be second because they, like I said, they have a potent offense. You know, when you have DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon and Niles Davis at the tight end, and you know you have Jordan Reed at the tight end, who produced for me in fantasy football. They have some weapons, and you know this is a prove it year for Kirk Cousins. He wants to make money. They signed him to a 1-year deal. He wants a long term deal. Well, actually, they franchise him, which is the same as a 1-year deal. So Kirk Cousins has to prove it, you know, prove it to the Redskins that he's worth every penny. He's worth a long-term extension. And I believe Kirk Cousins is going to do it. I believe that they're going to fight for NFC wildcard position. Because, like I said, barring injury, the Cowboys should win their division. Ezekiel Elliott, 250 to 300 carries next season. Pick him up in fantasy football. I am, because he's going to get the carries. And like I said, I just believe that Jason Garrett and Jerry Jones, they envisioning Ezekiel Elliott the way DeMarco Murray was a couple years ago when DeMarco Murray was, like, destroying the league, running over everybody. That's the last time the Cowboys made the playoffs, when DeMarco Murray had that monster year. And I just believe that they, when they see Ezekiel Elliott, that's what they see in. Especially after the way they talked about him at the minicamp drills and how he was running with such explosiveness and how he was catching the ball out of the backfield, how he just looked like, you know, an all-world type of player out there. So I just believe that Cowboys are going to win and Patriots will they win their division. So I'm going to close out the show. Before I do, I got to let you guys hear a little bit of my boy, Mr. Dame Dollar, Portland Trailblazer point guard, Damian Lillard, one of my favorite point guards in the league right now, because the guy does it on the court, but he also does it on the mic.
Dame Dollar. Wait, it's over. Look. My first encounter with adversity was somewhat an emergency. I fell off the path and my mental it needed surgery. The more I stumbled off, the more my actions started irking me. I got it together and the top looked like my turf to be. They think money rules, I'm rich and I'm done with school. My problems still exist, so don't listen to none of fools. For currency, they running their lives in the paid in full. I took a task and made it cash in my path and became cool. My life came full circle at the park, was throwing left hooks. Now I'm in the league with Steph Curry and Russell Westbrook. Took a couple bumps, boy, you never received.
All right, welcome back to Sports Chat with T. Wash. Got 5 minutes left. That was my boy Dame Dollar. And I just want to talk about again the guy I was talking about a little earlier when the show started, Denzel Valentine, man. I'll tell you, I've been hyping this pub and this kid ever since, you know, before the pre-draft process started, I believe that he should have been taken top five. The kid is a leader. He can pass the ball. He can shoot. He can score. He plays defense. I mean, everything you want in a player. And I really believe the Bulls got a steal. And like I said, throughout the season, when NBA season starts, throughout the season, I'm going to be keeping track of him and Chris Dunn. And I'm going to be reporting you guys, you know, the things they do, how they play, how they look, just to see if I'm right. Because I believe Chris Dunn and Denzel Valentine are going to make impacts with their teams. What's going on in Sports Chat with T-Wash? Who's calling?
This is KC.
What's going on, KC?
You were just talking about Valentine, Denzel Valentine, that played for the Bulls, right?
Yeah, you got 3 minutes left, KC. Yeah.
Okay, well, I just wanted to see your opinion. Where do you think the Bulls, considering they have a pretty nice, you know, bench and some new recruits and some veterans, where do you think they finish in the East?
Right now, I want to say the Bulls and the Knicks are going to be fighting for the third and the fourth slot. I just don't think that the Knicks gonna have enough. I mean, the Bulls gonna have enough to beat Cleveland or Toronto, and maybe even Boston. I think Boston's gonna be up there.
Okay.
But I mean, who knows? And it depends on Dwayne Wade stay healthy.
Right. Third is a fair place to put them. I wouldn't put them like toward the bottom. I mean, I wouldn't put them toward the bottom at all.
The Pacers might be third team.
As you know, I love both teams. But right now I'm going to put the Bulls above the Pacers because Dwayne Wade is a proven vet. And then they have Rondo. And I think they're going to click. And then Jimmy Butler's coming back. I'm really excited to see what the Bulls are going to do. Thanks a lot for your input.
All right. Thank you, Casey.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she's right. It's definitely going to be an interesting season, and I look forward to it. Like I said, the addition of Valentine to go along with Jimmy Butler and Rondo and Wade and Taj Gibson and Nikola Mirotic, you know, shooting the three ball because Fred Hoiberg likes to have an offense that spreads the floor. He likes to have shooters on the wing. And he's going to have to because that backcourt of Wade and Rondo, they're not really good shooters. So they're going to penetrate and kick. But I just don't agree. I don't know. I got to put the Pacers above the Bulls because the Pacers done more this offseason. Their additions might be a little more prominent than the Bulls. But, I mean, we'll see. Those teams, they play in the same division. They play in the Central Division. So they're going to see each other like six times, and it's going to be interesting. I'm pretty sure I'll be going to some of those games. But, okay, I want to thank everybody for calling in, everybody that did call in. I was expecting more calls. I'm a little disappointed. But, hey, I just appreciate the calls that I got. It's not going to deter me from doing this show. I love it. I'm going to continue to do it, and I just want to leave y'all with this. Sports is basically the fabric of society, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, soccer, and hockey. We all as humans have a strong passion for the games and what they represent. Now ask yourself, could you imagine life without them? Thank you, everyone. And I'll be getting back with you guys on Saturday at 6:30 for another edition of Sports Chat with T-Wash.